Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Knowing Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio and our series Before the Rapture. As I've mentioned, as I've been mentioning the past few weeks, I thought we'd get into end times, and I decided that I want to proceed on the assumption that we're already in the end times and quickly moving toward the rapture and tribulation. So I want to talk a bit about what we need to do before Jesus comes for us. Essentially, how to develop the tools we need to move forward and toward the tribulation period. So, without further ado, let's get into today's broadcast. We've been focusing on the need to repent in our series and discussed what the word and act of repenting really means as a turning away from sin so we don't get caught in the sin and ask forgiveness, then sin again and ask forgiveness again, sin again, ask forgiveness again, cycle. As Jesus told the woman caught in adultery in John 8:11, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more." Jesus didn't say, "Well, go ahead and continue to sin. I have forgiven you. Go ahead and sin. And each time, though, make sure to ask for forgiveness once again." No. He said, "Go and sin no more." He essentially said, turn away from sin. Repent, turn away from sin, and sin no more once you have turned away. And then we talked last week about putting your house in order, essentially putting your heart in order, comparing the house to your heart, assuring that you're right with God so that you can walk in His righteousness to ensure that you are rapture ready, to assure that you are brought up as the bride by the bridegroom to the wedding feast that awaits. So, as we look around our local cities, states, and in various countries around the world, we're seeing a lot of people growing very cold towards the Lord. And not just the non-Christian community, but the Christian community as well, especially those in the postmodern Christian movement who believe Jesus is strictly a God of love, with no mention of sin, no mention of what Scripture says, and certainly no mention of anything other than ask and the Lord will provide, like the genie in the lamp. Well, what this does is breed a Christian base that not only doesn't understand, but that can very quickly become removed from Christ entirely. Again, believing simply because, you know, they've accepted Christ into their heart, that alone is the only criteria for their Christian salvation. So then, what's the natural next step for these folks? Complacency. And complacency is actually taking Christ for granted. But here's the kicker. It's not just this group of lukewarm Christians or Christians in name only that take God for granted. It's also very easy for the mature Christian to do the same thing, especially as we have grown in our comfort and assurance of walking in the path of His righteousness. Many Christians are just like the Pharisees, though. They're hypocrites. They get to church. They go to the church-led Bible study. They pray with the congregation. And then once they leave the parking lot, they turn back to their worldly pursuits until they dutifully go to church the next week. And this is a trap that is very, very easy to fall into. Granted, it leads to disobedience, and this is a cultural lesson for us all. Now, what does Scripture tell us? I mean, actually, taking, you know, God for granted is a consequence of being comfortable with God, and it's a tale as old as time, not to quote Disney, but it literally is as old as time. I mean, what does Scripture tell us in Genesis? Adam and Eve, the first man and woman to live on the surface of the earth, took God, their creator, for granted. They thought they could disobey Him at will. We're told this in Genesis 3, 6 through 13. God had earlier created them in His own image and built a garden where all their physical needs could be met. Genesis 2, 7 through 15 elaborates on this. Before long, however, the first and only law given by God was broken. Again, Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Adam and Eve took God for granted. They took his love and provisions, his fellowship, all of that for granted. And, it cost them. They took him for granted until they disobeyed and realized only too late what taking God for granted was all about. And we're warned in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Essentially, lest we take God for granted. And for our presentation today, let's finally focus on Revelation 3:16 and 17. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be thought of as lukewarm. And I certainly don't want Jesus to want to vomit me, essentially. So Brittany Bergman in Today's Christian Woman wrote a great article published online on July 22nd in 2015. She states, the core of this problem goes beyond just feeling too comfortable in our lives. It's about how we tend to let our comfort invade our perceptions of God. My fear is that we become too used to the gospel and too flippant about our faith. We often struggle to remember the underlying truth that God is not there just to direct our path and make sure we don't screw up, though he does graciously provide direction. He's not there to passively receive our list of requests, although he certainly cares about and listens to each item. He's not even there just to be sure we live lives that honor him, though he certainly desires for us to do so. He is the God of the universe, the grand creator, the author of beauty and wonder. He wants us to marvel at him, to be awestruck by his holy presence each day. It's not that he doesn't care about the small things we pray for daily, because he absolutely does. But we can trust him with these things much more deeply when we rightly understand his grandness and majesty. Then we begin to see God as less like a warm, fuzzy blanket and more like the mind-blowing King of Kings he is, the great God who brings me to my knees in adoration. Again, those are Bergman's words. So she asks, how can we shake off the lull of being so used to God that we forget who he really is? How can we see God as the God of wonder rather than viewing him merely as the God who gets us through each day? One of the suggestions that Brittany Bergman makes is to picture your husband in the brutal situation that Christ faced in his final days, beaten, scourged, literally to within an inch of his life, bloody, bruised, organ failure, torment, and unbearable physical and emotional pain. Think of this happening to your brother, to your son, to your father. Bergman states, thinking of it in this way transforms what we often think of as a story into a true, harsh reality. And yet, because he deeply loved people, and because he is the God of wonder and power and glory, he literally came back to life, continued his ministry, and still continues it today through the Holy Spirit, and restores us all to the righteousness he alone earned. The crucifixion and resurrection are the most horrifying yet the most beautiful events in history, and they remind us of the truth of God's redemptive work. It's unbeatable, unmatchable, and unchangeable in its glory. So Bergman believes this personalizes the experience even more and makes us appreciate his sacrifice for us in such a way that we'll seek to glorify him even more and knowing him as the God of wonder rather than taking him for granted. So let me ask you a few questions now, and I encourage you to take the time to consider your answers to each of these. If you feel the need to stop the presentation at any point or the broadcast, stop and think about some of these questions and then write your answers maybe and go on to the next one. When you hear me say taking God for granted, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you on a personal level? Next, are you actually identifying with anything that I've talked about today? Do you take God for granted? And actually, again, getting back to the first question, what does that really mean to you? Well, third, do you believe that you need to be on fire for Jesus, what the world might call a Jesus freak, to be considered rapture ready? Number four, how different is it now than when you first came to Christ? Remember that joy, remember the tears of happiness, remember feeling you were born again? born again with Him as your Savior, with the Holy Spirit in your heart? Well, what happened between then and now? And just, these are very introspective questions, I know, and the truth sometimes hurts. But you need to be as brutally honest with yourself as you can, because only by remedying these things, asking for the Lord's help, and asking Him to guide you back to Him, where you don't take Him for granted every day or at all, is huge. So finally, knowing what you know about your present situation and your heart, what steps or concrete actions do you think you can take to get back to keeping Christ first and foremost in your heart and your mind? So if any of this is ringing a bell for y'all, I encourage you to ask for God's help in turning away from what it is you're dealing with. And as with all things, whether it be sin or the need to repent, or asking for Jesus to help bring to your attention any areas that may be hidden to you or that you may have forgotten about, so that you can put all that behind you and not let that hinder you in the eyes of the Lord, I always recommend you pray and ask for help. Remember, too, each time that you do pray, pray in earnest. You are still glorifying Him. So if you need help in this area, please feel free to contact me at info@knowingchrist.com, and I'll be glad to help in any way that I can. And so that brings us to the end of our show. For more information or to contact us, please email us at info@knowing. You're finding that our shows are shorter this year, this season. I'm refraining from the scholarly. I'm trying to make the shows as easy to understand for those who are new in their Christian walk, those who are seeking to develop a Christian walk, those who are just inquiring, those looky-loos who might be curious, where I can just plant a seed, and for some who just want someone to tell them the black and white truth without getting too heavy in the Greek or Latin or what words really meant what. So anyway, like I say, that brings us to the end of the show. I encourage you to visit our Facebook page and like us in order to stay abreast of our announcements. I also have a page on MeWe under the same name, Knowing Christ Ministries. I also encourage you to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio so that you're notified of each new broadcast. As well, Blog Talk has a full archive of our shows of 10 years now. So I encourage you to take the time to review our listing, and if a title or series looks like something the Lord's leading you to at any given time, please listen. And until next time, this is Dr. Danielle West reminding you, it's not what you know, but who you know. For Knowing Christ Ministries, I wish you a very blessed day, and I thank you for listening.